Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Here is Dr. Medici. Good morning. All right, I'm smelling summer. What about you? Have you noticed you have more energy? That's because your hormones are acting up. We're programmed that way genetically. Spring, summer, metabolisms increase. You start taking in that sun that you haven't done because it was too cold to go out in the winter. So you're out there in the world making your way. We're all doing it, whether we're broke or whether we're billionaires. And what are you using every day to discern? So let's talk about discernment for a minute. Today's show are the tricks. Well, not really tricks. They're the inside track on something that you do all the time. You vibe people. V-I-B-E. Vibe people. In other words, to make your day go the way you want, you have to interact with other people. That may be fortunate. Sometimes I know we feel like it's unfortunate, but you're reading people all the time. To read a person, to get the sense of who you're talking to before the problem begins, to get the sense of who you're talking to before a great relationship ensues. We kind of do this intuitively all the time. I want to put it to science, because in medicine, doctors have to do this all the time. Like bartenders, like police officers, like anybody that's got to make quick, snap-second decisions about exactly who they're talking to. Okay, so we're not talking really about checking out library books. That's obvious. But everybody's got to do this. Usually the head gets in the way. Ladies, I think for the most part you can relate to that a little bit more. But men also. We all have that part of ourselves that's stronger than our analytic mind. It's a vibe. It's a feeling. It's just some thing that's inside us that gives us that knowing about who the person across the desk is. Let's take this to a more refined art today. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're new to the show, welcome. I think we're at about 100 shows now. This radio show's been going now. I'm into my third year. We have about 100 hours on the website. That's a library. We're going to have to start categorizing these things according to subject. And if you've hung on for the last 2 years, what an education, huh? I love so much of what I do, but two things that I really get high on at this point is my school and a radio show, because when you add them collectively, you can create a whole relationship that you could never do at that price, at that cost of time, money, and energy. Until I put the radio show together with 100 shows on the archives and my school, I could never really feel comfortable that I was getting enough information out there. I'm going to celebrate that today. You're online at the bank, and the line is too long, and you're watching the tellers, and you have a more complicated transaction to make. And you know, if you pick the wrong teller or the wrong clerk, the wrong bureaucrat, the wrong bean counter, that they're going to tell you no because of some ridiculous technicality in the banking policy. And this can happen over the phone too, not just with banks. How do you get around the bureaucrat? How do you know the bureaucrat, the bean counter, the guy that does it exactly like the book and doesn't apply even a modicum of common sense to the specific person? Right? We all deal with this. Unfortunately, in an ever increasingly annoying way, we deal with all of this. Face reading, body reading. What's that person's face giving off? Well, Let's start with the red face. The red face. This is a person that doesn't have, I didn't say pink. Pink is perfusion of blood to the face. Pink is a healthy pallor, P-A-L-L-O-R. I'm talking about red. The red face means heat. It means volatility. It means don't annoy this person because they're going to get annoyed very easily. They have a short fuse. That redness or heat in the face often comes from what we call a hot liver. Because the liver regulates the emotions. You've noticed this after coffee enema or after a liver gallbladder flush. Your body feels more sedated. Your body feels more like it can handle the day's stress. You don't react as easily. You don't get upset over nothing as quickly. Well, that's when the liver's in balance. When the liver's out of balance, then you're going to get ticked off over absolutely nothing. You don't really want that kind of guy in a transaction. You don't want to do business with that kind of person because they're going to be short. They're going to be snappy. Now, their tone of voice. You have external tones of voice and you have internalized tones of voice. An external tone of voice is someone that comes out with it. That's a strong liver, we say. If the liver is too strong, if it's irritated, they come out with it too loud. They burst forth in a volcanic, forceful nature, and it brings that heat up to the face if you're doing that a lot. And of course, it's okay to do this from time to time, right? Anger is appropriate when it's appropriate. Keeping your mouth closed is appropriate when it's appropriate. The full gamut of human emotion is okay. The full gamut of human emotion is even to be trusted or to be encouraged in its expression. But it has to be appropriate. We say the liver appropriates emotion. And when that liver is internalized, those are the people with the tight upper lip. And they kind of talk like that. Yes, I understand. I can thoroughly relate to your problem, sir. They've got this internalized low pitch, and the voice is what we call tight. That's an internalized liver. That type of a person will explode, and when they explode everything they've held in for the last 10 years. And you can hear that in a subdued, low-pitched, rather tight voice. Of course, this doesn't really make much of a difference when you're online in the bank. But if you're developing a relationship on a more intimate level where there's more at stake, you bet it makes a difference. Online in the bank, we're just looking for somebody that loves people, that opens himself with generosity. And you can more or less tell that type of a person by the way they hold their upper body. When the head is sunk forward, when the shoulders are anteriorly rotated, and when the face is sullen, when it doesn't show animation, it's telling the observer that that person has withdrawn from life. For the head to come forward reflects, in different forms of medicine, a certain type of detachment from the thought of being seen or heard. A teacher that sees a student in a class with a head that's pushed forward and down is the student that's been told what you say doesn't count. This can start in the family, at the dinner table, often the youngest. While there are five opinions going around the table, the youngest usually learns to keep their mouth closed because no one's going to listen to them anyway because they're the youngest. Now, sometimes the youngest becomes the most gregarious to compensate. But often the youngest will take the head, slink it forward, and more or less grieve They'll grieve the fact that nobody listens. That's a withdrawal. 20, 25, 30 years later, when they work as bank clerks, they've withdrawn. Then there's the shoulders. Chest. Sit up straight and let that chest stick out. And if it's not exaggerated, that's a healthy thing to do. Sit up straight and let that chest stick out, because you're there. You're present. You're going to be heard. What you say counts. And when somebody along the way during their socialization process decides that what they say doesn't count, decides that their presence isn't required, they're going to internally rotate the shoulders, drop them forward, bring them forward along with the head, and withdraw. Usually that's when the smile disappears. We say the creative we say the creative force with a person like that is gone. The fire is out. That's not necessarily the person you want to do business with. But it might be better than looking at someone with a red face. That red face means that that liver is irritated and heat is going up. That heat is called false heat. And the way you sustain that in life is by compensating that heat through the endocrine system. To have the energy to get upset that many times per day so that the face is plush and red drains the adrenal glands. It's not that that heat is a sign of strength. That heat is a sign of overload. And that overload has to be compensated for by a plush supply of adrenaline and cortisol from the adrenal glands. Something's got to put out that fire that keeps rising to the face. So when you run into that characteristic or stereotypical type A personality with that booming voice, but it's booming all day long, and that face is sort of ruddy or red, rest assured that there's a false heat to that. That person's in overdrive, and they're depleting perhaps their ever-powerful supply of adrenaline. So false heat drains the adrenals. That's the quintessential setup for the type A personality heart attack. You know that uncle you had? He made a lot of money. He was quite the businessman. But he was always screaming at everybody. And he had that slight redness to the face. And then one day, after he sold his last two businesses and got ready to just live the life of luxury and retire, he had a heart attack and died. You can push your false heat to the point where you don't have any more adrenaline to compensate you. And once those adrenals collapse, the heart will collapse. So, that strength for your uncle to buy those businesses, that was driven by a strong, powerful liver. The liver provides the will, the force, the desire to get up and say, I'm going to go out and build a house. When that liver is overworked, undernourished, imbalanced, it comes out as this extroverted anger that creates heat that goes up to the face, that heat that you can read in somebody's face. Ultimately, that heat will demand so much adrenaline from the adrenals that when a man or a woman hit their 50s and 60s and 70s, their adrenals just burn. Once you've lost your adrenaline, once you've gone into such deficiency from working that liver too hard, from working that anger too hard, once you become deficient enough, your body can collapse wherever it's genetically designed to collapse. Do you get that? Genetically designed. Every one of us have 3 to 4 to 5 systems in the body that are not quite as strong as our other systems. All of us are designed with certain weaknesses. And those weaknesses exhibit when the endocrine system, the reserve supply system starts to betray us. Important concept. Now, if that heat is on the chin, sometimes people have redness on the chin. It's not on the face. It's just on the chin, a ruddy chin. Yeah, you're going to have to start looking at people. There's a red chin and there's a red nose. Now, you know the red nose. The red nose is the alky. A lot of people who have drank for too long have fibrosed the liver. The liver starts to scar, and the nose gets red. In the 70s, the nose gets big and red. Big red, or even big red purple. That redness in the nose is the fibrosis in the liver. That redness in the nose can even start to burst capillaries. It can start to burst capillaries in the cheeks. Now, if you have rosacea, that's a different issue. So we're going to leave that alone. But you know the stereotype of the man that's drank too much over the years. That nose will get bulbous. W.C. Fields. Those of you who remember W.C. Fields. The redness and engorgement of the nose with that purplish, venous, reddish blood that extended out into the cheeks. It's a fibrotic condition in the liver. The liver's scarred from the stress of the alcohol. But you may have that on the chin, not the nose. If you have that on the chin, that's a toxic colon. The chin is the large intestine. People that get a lot of pimples on the chin, they just get it on the chin. Their issues are with the chin. Chin itches. Chin's inflamed. You have allergic reactions on the chin. The chin gets bumps on it. The chin is the colon. If the chin is red, there is a heat condition in the large intestine. It means it's not so much that the liver's inflamed or the cardiovascular system's inflamed or the kidney's inflamed. No, the large intestine suffers from a chronic low-grade to high-grade inflammatory state. The blood begins to boil if the liver long-term isn't balanced. The blood boils. When the blood boils, it can burst anywhere. You develop heat, and the heat in the liver that rises can make the cardiovascular system boil. That's the aneurysm. That's broken capillaries all over the body. Now, broken capillaries, spider veins, broken capillaries, very often you're looking at deficiencies in your flavonoids. Very often you're looking at deficiencies in your bioflavonoids, antioxidant deficiencies. Some of it's genetic. But there's another situation that can cause a hemorrhage, that can burst a blood vessel. It'll bring the blood pressure up. It's when the blood boils from heat in the liver. And you see that in the face, but you can also see it as burst capillaries all over the body. Petechia. Ladies often come in with a tremendous concern that ever-present looming disaster where the skin is not perfect. And they have these little red dots on their body, and they can't understand what it is. They can't understand what it is, and sometimes they go off and explain to you at length how they can't understand what it is. Now, it's 20 minutes later, and they're still discussing with you how they can't understand what it is. And what they're effectively doing is proving what it is. The heat that comes from internal turbulence, which is, again, very liver-oriented, that heat begins to boil the blood. And as the blood boils, it pops little capillaries. Now, you can strengthen those capillaries, theoretically, but there's a point at which you can't. You have to cool the internal temperature. Brown. Yeah, the color brown. you look at somebody's eyes, and where the under the eye, so not the eye itself, but under the eyes, it's brown. It's like a layer of brown, the color. That's liver stress. It's a chronically stressed liver. Usually, that's not about fixing the liver in terms of a liver flush. It's not about fixing the liver in terms of a liver flush when there's a layer of brown under the eye. That's a liver that just can't do the 1,600 things a liver needs to do every day. And that's a whole other show. We often think that the liver is simply about flushing the liver. Perhaps next week we'll do a show and the title will be, it's not just all about flushing the liver. The liver does 1,600 things. Now, yeah, those bile ducts are real important. But flushing the liver is only part of the issue with liver. If the liver, in the infinite number of transactions that it's supervising each day, if it can't keep up with the demand, with the load on the liver, the liver will begin to reflex to the eye, and you can see it as a brown U, H-U-E, underneath the eyelid. Of course, this can be followed by a brownness in the sclera, the white part of the eye. If you see white in the white, if you see brown in the white part of the eye, that means the liver has scarred. You'll see this with drinkers all the time. You'll see this with people that have done a lot of drugs. Where if you look into the white of the eye, you'll see these brown plaques. That means the liver's fibrotic. That means the blood of the liver is extremely thick. That means they have a lot of work to do. The day we get rid of that brownness in the liver, you just about have a new liver, and you need one. When the cholesterol is too high, usually because the gallbladder is plugged, the body pushes cholesterol plaque out through the sclera, the white of the eye. And as it pushes out that cholesterol plaque into the white of the eye, we see this little plaque. We call it a pinguecula. A pinguecula. That's an ophthalmological term. That's in medical texts. It's called a pinguecula. Not a pterygium. Pterygium is something else. But a pinguecula is a sign that the cholesterol in the blood is too high. It's trying to drain out through the sclera of the eye. And you see it as a white plaque. Now you understand, this is what a doctor's doing. Having a conversation with a doctor is dangerous. Or maybe not so dangerous. Maybe that's what you want your doctor to do. Of course you do. You want your doctor to figure out what's going on. You want your doctor to figure out who you are. But this is power for everybody. You can kind of figure out who you're talking to. Guy's got a red face and a ruddy complexion. Factor that in. Somebody's got brown U under their eyes. Factor that in. Suppose a person's white. Suppose a person's white and listless. White's anemia. White is grief. White is the lung isn't getting good O2, CO2 perfusion in the lung. Those people usually don't have enough energy to make a problem. Go to that guy. The minute you raise your voice a little bit, he's going to back down. He doesn't have the energy. That's what that white is telling you. Yeah, you can use this. They're usually going to have a low voice. It's not going to be that low, tight voice that tells you that they're rageaholics, but only secretly. Only at night with their loved ones do they scream in rage. No, that low voice with this person is going to be the low voice of, I don't have the energy to fight. Do whatever you want. White in the face is anemia. Anemia means there's not enough iron absorbed in the intestinal tract so that when that iron binds to the porphyrin molecule, the hemoglobin molecule, and grabs oxygen in the lung and delivers it to your cells, well, white means that you don't have enough hemoglobin because you don't have enough iron. That's iron deficiency anemia. Then again, you can have all the iron you want, tons of it. But if the lung can't exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide because the lung tissue's damaged, you're going to look white also. It's not going to be iron deficiency. It's simply going to be you've got issues in the lung. The lung's partly fibrotic. Either way, the face and the body are going to look pale and white. The tongue's going to be pale and white. The voice is going to be low. They don't have the energy to argue. Go online with that person. That's an easier one. Usually people with red and ruddy faces, they want honesty. They want you to get to the point. They're annoyed at the world because the world doesn't get to the point. The world could just be honest and get to the point. We wouldn't have all this problem. People, idiots, have to complicate matters all day long, and they're behind the desk dealing with this all day, and they're upset about it, and they're going to let you know. So sometimes red's not a bad color. White's a shoo-in. Let's keep going. Sunspots. I've not really seen too many people fix their sunspots. I hate to tell you that. Talking with well-known cosmetic people, you know the one that makes the clean cosmetic? Usually I don't hear anybody say, you can do this and the sunspots will go away. Estheticians have all sorts of bleaches. Don't really want to get into it. But sunspots and liver spots are not necessarily the same thing. A sunspot comes from a history of being in the sun to the point where the body cannot send enough antioxidant to the skin to counteract the free radical damage of UV light on the skin. Now, it may not have enough antioxidant. It may not be able to deliver the antioxidant to the skin. And you can have sunspots on the face. Well, that could mean a person gets a lot of sun. That tells you something. It tells you that they're going to set themselves up for problems that have to do with free radical damage to the skin. Great. You don't need to know that when you're online in the bank. You do need to know that when you're a doctor. Those sunspots are all over the body. Tends to tell you that that person's out in the sun all the time. The sunspot's different than a liver spot. A liver spot is a advancement of that brown. As the liver fibrosis, you're going to get brown spots on the body. A lot of times these will be related to molds. The ever dangerous mole, because the mole, of course, can be a melanoma. But there's always been something about liver and brown and mole. And yes, when the liver becomes fibrotic, when the liver starts to break down, it begins to grow fungus into the organ. You can grow fungus into anything. We did a show on fungus a few weeks ago. You can grow fungus into anything. Fungus is always there hanging out. I don't just mean candida. There's many types of funguses. And those funguses will grow depending upon the amount of damage to the tissue that we're discussing. In the case of the liver, when the fungus starts to grow, you will reflex molds to your skin. You got to watch that. That level of derangement, when you begin to see excessive numbers of molds, in a sense, or funguses grow to the face, usually picking itself off from derangement in the liver. Another sign you watch, especially as a doctor. How about the crease in the ear? Now, I'm not talking about when I say the crease in the ear, the fact that the earlobe, as a person gains weight, the earlobe will begin to bend up because the fat on the face begins to push the lobe up. That's not a crease in the ear. The crease in the earlobe means heart disease. People that have creases down the length of their tongue and creases down the length of their earlobe usually have heart disease in the family. Speaking of heart disease, here's one that's almost never wrong. The arcus senilis. That's the cholesterol ring. Around the brown or blue or green, around the iris, the colored part of the eye, around the colored part of the eye, there's a white ring. A white ring. That's plaque. That can be calcium plaque, or it can be fatty plaque. Either way, it's plaque. Either way, it's a sign. Now, this is subtle. A good doctor will catch it in a second. If there's a glossiness, a veil of gloss, like shininess, that at some point begins to shade over this white ring, heart attacks are near. Heart disease is evolving. It's an imminent sign. Tough to catch. I catch it all the time. Last time I caught it was a 50-year-old construction worker who was building a part of my office. Nice guy, without much time. And he didn't listen. 'Cause it's too wacky. Who looks in your eye and tells you that you might have heart disease? Nobody does that. The eye's just sitting there. It's not telling us anything. God put it there, not to be investigated, just to be looked at numbly, blankly. Certainly not anything for a doctor to investigate. You see, mainstream medicine's forgotten all this stuff. Hand analysis, face analysis, tongue analysis, body posture. 3/4 of who you are not what you say. I mean, who says on an application form when they apply for a job exactly why they left their last job? People don't necessarily tell you the truth or the reality by what they tell you. You have to infer it by looking at all these little signals. Health is the same way. Health is very much like that. Especially if the problem's emotional. People don't come in and say, it's emotional. They come in and say, my back hurts. Many forms of medicine, no form of medicine, didn't look back at one time and really study the face, the hands. They even looked up into the stars to understand the nature of the person across from them. No, not occult astrology. Not the occult, the wicked, dangerous occult. Those heathens. I'm talking about traits that have to do with disease, that just had to do with the time of the month, the time of the year you were born. Yes. Lots of that stuff. You can bear evidence to it. You can't get lost in it. If you get lost in it, then you become a lunatic. But the observations are there. Let's keep going. The crease in the ear, the arcus senilis, the glossiness in the eye, the puffiness under the eye, the puffiness all the way to a blackness. That's kidney. Water is under the eye, bags of water under the eye. Very, very common sign that the kidney adrenal energy has to kind of work itself out. We often say to people like that, you need a good night's sleep. Gee, when I get sleep, those things go away. Well, they do, and sometimes they don't. Of course, you know, your genetics is spun into all of this. If the eye is deep set, a deep socketed eye is never going to have a bag under the eye. Their adrenal glands may have one day left. Their adrenal glands may be totally trashed. They may have only one kidney. But you won't see a bag under the eye if the eye is in the deep socket. People whose eyes are to the surface, so there's no alcove, there's no recession of the orbit, we say. The eyes are not deep set. They're way out front. Those people are going to show their bags more easily. So some of this is facial structure. But generally, if there's a puffiness under the eye, the kidney adrenal, and it can be one but not the other, needs to get flushed. When people gain weight, a lot of times the belly comes out and it crushes the kidney. As the kidney's crushed because a person gains weight, it won't drain water as quickly. There you go. There's a physical constriction of the kidney, so there's more water in the system. When the adrenals get tired, they don't regulate the water as well. When the water's not regulated, the adrenal cortex, via aldosterone, may not keep the sodium-potassium balance correct. So the body may not be able to excrete its sodium at the rate that it needs to. And so tired adrenals may create waterlog in the body. It'll create high blood pressure, which is more water in the blood vessel. Well, more water in the blood vessel, you don't know it. You call that high blood pressure. But more water in the body may come out the skin. And that's the puffiness in the eye. If it gets really bad, the eye will have a black. A little tougher to see. Not as much of black you. And I say you, I mean it's a shadow. There is a whiteness or a yellowness or a greenness or a blackness on the face. It's not like you're painted that color. There's a shade. You look at the shade in off sunlight. You don't look at it under fluorescent light. Never try to get reality under fluorescent light. I mean, we all know that, right? We pray that that's true. Because when you go to your ever favorite party and you take a potty break and you walk into the bathroom and you take that last glance at yourself before you go back out, you all know the horror. The sheer horror of looking at yourself in a mirror under fluorescent light. Let me tell you, that's not how you really look. But in that moment, you're afraid that that's how you really look. Or, of course, when you go and you buy clothes, and you're in the shopping store, the department store, and it's a cheap place, or they just didn't spend the money, unfortunately, and you have to look at yourself with that wonderful new shirt you bought or whatever under a fluorescent light. Don't trust reality under fluorescence. So you don't look at the color of the tongue, the color in the eye, the color of the skin, or anything under fluorescent light. Nor do you look at it under direct sunlight. You have to look at the eye in indirect sunlight. Indirect. Off. Do that when the sun is strong in off light, and you can see use shades. Tones of color. It's extremely obvious. We all know what biliary problems in the liver look like, right? Here's a little fun fact. I love this little story. Remember this. The red blood cell lives 120 days. About 120 days. The red blood cell is made in the bone marrow. It's made in the bone marrow, and it's got its membrane. It's a happy little red blood cell, and it sucks up oxygen, drops off carbon dioxide, and does its thing. It's a transport cell. It's a carrier cell. Well, it's made in the bone marrow, and it lives about 4 months, 120 days. Somewhere along the line, it starts to get weak. It gets beat up. It gets hit on too many times. And when it goes through the spleen, by the way, if you have problems with your spleen, you turn yellow. It's a certain color yellow. But if you have problems in the spleen, if you have the spleen, the red blood cell goes to the spleen, and the spleen filters the red blood cell. The spleen crushes it. For the red blood cell to travel to the spleen, to go through the spleen's going to crush it. It's going to beat it up. And if the red blood cell gets by, if it passes through the spleen, and it's still in one piece, if it still has its integrity, the cell is still healthy. But if the red blood cell is too old, if it wasn't made right, if it wasn't fed right, if it's essential fatty acid deficient, if for any one of a million reasons your red blood cell's just not strong, the spleen will crush it. When the spleen crushes it, it releases bilirubin, a chemical, into the blood. When the red blood cell hemolyzes or gets crushed in the spleen because it's too old, it releases bilirubin in the blood. That bilirubin travels to the liver. When it goes to the liver sucks it out of the blood. It conjugates it, dumps it into the gallbladder, and that's what makes your feces colored. Isn't that fascinating? Your feces would be white or gray if it wasn't for the conjugated bilirubin that gets flushed into the gallbladder and into your feces. Bilirubin, or crushed red blood cell, is one of the basic molecules in bile. Bile, yeah, that bile that we always talk about in a liver flush. The root of bile, the root of it, one of the root compounds, comes from the crushed red blood cell. Now, here's the point. As I said, that crushed red blood cell, crushed because it's old, crushed by the spleen, crushed, certainly, successfully crushed, after 120 days of doing its job. When it comes on over to the liver, if the liver's stuck, if the liver's sick, if for whatever reason the liver cannot conjugate the bilirubin, it backs up into the blood. The bilirubin backs up into the blood because the liver can't take it out. And that's what you see as the yellow-greenish tinge on the face when people have congested livers, congested gallbladders. When somebody's got liver cancer, when somebody's got fibrosis of the liver, cirrhosis, alcoholic cirrhosis, when somebody has a pancreatic tumor, or pancreatitis, and its union with the liver before it hits the intestine is all plugged up, it backs up the conjugation process of all the red blood cells in the blood. So you're sitting there with all these exploded red blood cells because you've got cirrhosis, because you've got a gallstone, because you've got cancer, because you've got just regular scarring in the liver, because you've got hepatitis. Whatever stops the liver from conjugating the bilirubin leaves all this exploded red blood cell in the blood. And so you look a little yellow-green. We call that jaundice. Jaundice is the yellow-green hue noticed in indirect sunlight on a person. And that jaundice can just be in the white or sclera of the eye. So sometimes your early sign of jaundice is just in the eye. So doctors are always looking into the sclera, the white of the eye. They're always looking into the iris. They're always looking at your ears. They're always looking at your skin. They're looking at your fingernails, which we're going to get into. Talking to a doctor at a party is not a good thing. The doctor probably knows more things about you than your husband or wife do if the doctor's worth his salt. Welcome to the land of Sherlock Holmes. I always said to you, medicine is a puzzle. It's a mystery puzzle. And you have to listen and observe and then you have to hypothesize, and then you have to throw it up on the wall and see what sticks. Isn't that thrilling to know the reality of medicine? Or I know, you thought that you came in, and doctors just gave you blood tests. And based on these tests, the doctor knew everything about you, certainly about treating your disease. And it was cookie cutter. And cirrhosis was cirrhosis, and bowel was bowel, and heart disease was heart disease. And we just cut it out like cookie cutter. I hope after almost 100 shows, you don't think this way anymore. If this is your first show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. Call the office, 949-873-2127, 949-873-2127. Next week, I start my third school. I am so proud of that. If you're coming, bravo. If not, we've got about three to tops, five more spaces. It's neat, it's easy, it's slick, it's inexpensive, and it adds up. In a year, you can learn a ton. I said it 2 years ago when I started this show. I'll say it again. The edge in medicine, in holistic medicine, is education. And I can tell you definitively now, we are delivering it to you in an elegant, cost-effective way. Because to navigate yourself through the health journey, to be purely dependent upon your holistic doctor or your medical doctor without having really any fundamental understanding of anything, it is a dangerous place to be. If you don't know a gallbladder from a pancreas, from a femur, from a kneecap, you're going to run into a point at one point where you're not going to know who to trust. You're really not. And you're going to be at the mercy of people who tell you things, who, even if they care about you, even if they are well-intentioned, they may not be correct. God's people perish not for lack of faith, but for lack of knowledge. After two decades of this game, I would say that is more true than anything. 949-873-2127. I got about three spaces left. Come call. Get to see the office. It's a gorgeous office. All right. Let's keep going. Let's drive it home. His neck is thick. Thick neck. Wide face. Caveman. No. Not caveman. Athlete. Athletes have thick necks and wide faces. If you're fortunate enough to have a thick neck and a wide face, a strong jaw, you have strong glands then. Your glandular system is strong. Your testes are strong, your ovaries are strong, and your adrenals are strong. That's a gift. It's a gift of good maturation. It means your mom was fairly strong. It means you were gestated correctly. It means you've been selectively bred. And you've got the endocrine system. If the face is narrow and the neck is very thin, you're not quite as strong. Now, don't take this as 100% true. It's true 90% of the time. So if you're looking at somebody in your office and they've got a thick neck and a wide face and their head is on relatively straight, they tend to heal faster. They can tend to handle a detox better. They tend to grow tissue more quickly. Of course, the flip side to this is somebody with a thick neck and a wide face usually beats themselves to death. These are the people who are dead and they don't know it because they have enough adrenaline to keep going. If you're like that, it's a blessing, but it's also a liability. A lot of times people with thin faces and thin necks outlive people with fat faces or thick faces, big jaws, and big necks, because they learn their limitations early in life. So there's pros and cons to everything. But if you look up in that bite and the palate is narrow, the palate is high, which goes with a narrow face, I can tell you, I send lots of people to orthodontists. I've got some fantastic orthodontists. And while orthodontistry is not a perfect science, it is a very advanced science. And when you change the width of the palate, when you expand it, life changes. It changes in the extreme. It strengthens you. It opens your cranium. It begins to recalibrate the neuroendocrine system. It changes the shape of your face. It's something to think about. Sooner than later, I may do an entire show on the intricacies of that. I don't know if I have a good 60 minutes on that yet. I definitely have a good 30 minutes. I could definitely give 2 minutes to the number of people I've seen transform themselves over 10 years by expanding their palate. That I could do. Because there's lots of them. Look up palatial expansion on Google. Do a Google search, orthodontics expansion of palate. It's everywhere. It's been in the literature for years. It just hasn't hit mainstream public yet. And certainly, if your teeth were relatively symmetrical, even though the palate was narrow, you may have skipped orthodontics because, I don't know, up to 10, 12, 15 years ago, orthodontics really hadn't landed on this yet. Other dimensions of medicine have, but not orthodontics. They couldn't really do as much about it. The last 15 years has changed that. So bravo. So if you see somebody with a narrow face and a small neck and a high palate, they may be a little more fearful. They may traverse through the world in a way that's not quite as relaxed because the adrenal gland is not there to support them. Kidney and fear. If you don't have the adequate supply of adrenaline, you fear injury. You fear death. You fear bad things are going to happen. Fear and kidney go hand in hand. So just the shape of the face can tell you who you're talking to. Now, if you can get that face to stick its tongue out and flip up the tongue, if the veins under the tongue are purplish and blue, worse yet, if they're blue and protruding, it means the blood is like swamp water. It means your blood is muck. It's thick, stagnant. It's not flowing. Bluish, purple veins under the tongue. Yeah, lots of people live that way. Hypercoagulability of the blood is the prerequisite to many problems in the body. The black blood, we call it. Blood stasis, we call it. Hypercoagulability of blood, we call it. After a stroke, a heart attack, thin the blood, thin the blood. Doctors know. Cardiologists know. Acupuncturists know. The world knows that the thickness of the blood has many a control on the health of the body. You can tell this under the tongue. If the veins under the tongue are purplish blue, chances are the liver, the blood through the heart, the blood through the lungs are too thick. Systemically speaking, the blood is too thick. But you got to get someone to stick their tongue out. People don't like to do that. Something weird about that. People don't even like you to look in their eye. There's something weird about that. There's also something weird about if people don't look you in the eye. So things are weird either way. People that won't look you in the eye. Shame. That's shame. Great story. Years ago. Oh, we're running out of time. Had a guy with a bad neck. I mean, it was bad. This was back in chiropractic school. Bad neck. 20 years of a bad neck. Fix that neck. We fixed that neck. It took 1 year of hard work. But we fixed that neck. But along the way, we take him to like a gym. And we sit him in front of a mirror because that's what you did. The gym room had a mirror in it. And he wouldn't look at himself. It was very obvious. It was glaringly obvious he didn't want to look at his face. This went on for a few months, and finally I said to him, you know, Robert, why don't you ever look at yourself? Now, Robert was in his 60s. I was in my early 30s. And he said, I don't want to see what I'd see if I looked at myself in the mirror. And I said, Robert, how are you going to fix your neck if you don't look at yourself? And he started to cry. He was in his 60s. That's what you call shame. That's why priests forgive. That's why forgiveness is so important. We all do bad things. We may not mean to do them. We may mean to do them. But it can get to the point where the shame incurred, whether it's deserved or not in a sense, makes you not look at yourself. And you can see this in your office because people won't look at you. Or they won't look in a mirror. It's another hint. Shame is not guilt. Okay? Shame is deeper than guilt. Shame is when you take that feeling to your body, the very being of you, the flesh of you. The flesh and blood of you is renounceable because it's bad, because you were born that way or you did something wrong. Shame is deeper than guilt. Guilt is more of a mental thing. Guilt is kind of the neck. Guilt is like the neck up. And they just gave me the 1 minute signal. There is never enough time. Go out and play today. That's why we're in Southern California. Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. 949-873-2127. Call that number and celebrate. Ciao.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.